12 noon, Southern California. Top of the hour, which makes it time for the Planetary News Report on KFOX. And today, September 14, 1989. Well, we have a Pisces moon at 12 degrees, and the sun is in Virgo at 21. Mercury in Libra is still retrograde over there at 10. We have Venus in Scorpio moving along rather slowly, actually, at 2 degrees. Mars is in Virgo at 26. And we have Jupiter in Cancer over there at 7. Saturn, direct motion, is 7 Capricorn. Uranus is 1 Capricorn. Neptune is also the other retrograde planet at 9 Capricorn. Pluto at 13 Scorpio. North node of the moon, 24 Aquarius. South node of the moon, 24 Leo. Up next, astrological metaphysical radio on KFOX. So turn it up, okay? Turn up the volume. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, here on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. If you heard my topic a few days ago about the Mercury retrograde and also about the Capricorn planets going direct motion, wow, you'd really have to believe in astrology. You'd have to sit here and go, Farley, this is unbelievable. Things really do have seen. It's almost like time in many ways was slowed down or standing still in the summer with Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune retrograde. And then suddenly, the Uranus and Saturn went direct and Neptune's next and Mercury went retrograde. And I don't know if you've noticed that things have seemed to speed up, but they really have. It's like things that were on hold suddenly aren't on hold anymore, and things are being received in the mail, and calls are being made on the phone, and the market's being affected by it, and the baseball races have all changed, and some teams streaking are now on losing streaks and vice versa, and it's in the air. It's very strange. And it really is a very, very intense week for that reason. Well, anyway, we are going to talk about the metaphysical implications of astrology today, and we're going to discuss what happens between lifetimes or before a particular lifetime and how the soul or the higher self sets itself up for a certain astrological charge, why that occurs, what the karma is that is involved, and basically what is involved in this mission called Earth for any particular life cycle. Yeah, astrology is a humanistic science, and it is a science of analyzing a universal cosmic energies using outer space and the stars and the planets as a measure or a scale to certain particular specific cosmic energies that exist and that change from moment to moment, because as the planets move through space, move through the sky, they trigger different vibrational effects. If you could actually take a look at the horoscope, at the 12 signs of the zodiac, the realm that surrounds planet Earth from our point of view, you could almost label it as a big spectrum, as a big color spectrum, because definitely each sign seems to have a particular vibration that is quite obvious and quite unusual depending on where, what planet we're talking about and what sign it changes into. Now, when you take a look at different sign vibrations, a lot of you might want to assign colors to certain signs so you can sort of see in your mind. See, Virgo to me is like blue. You know, when I talk about Libra, then it's more like, I think Libra is more almost like a in-between blue or yellow, maybe almost a turquoise or something. And then when we get into Scorpio, well, it's purple. It gets kind of darker to me. And Sagittarius, it is more brighter, and that would be almost an orange. Then Capricorn is... That color for me changes and it becomes sort of almost iridescent, like an iridescent green or something. And And a lot of times, of course, you can assign your own colors to the astrological vibrations depending on how you feel. But frankly, from what I have seen, that depending where the planets are, like, you know, recently Venus went into Scorpio, and all these planets changed motion, and as an astrologer, the vibrations became quite obvious to me. And for those of you that are neophytes and just trying to learn this stuff, you listen to my show, and you might walk around and say, well, Farley said we're expecting some big changes this week, and then all of a sudden, boom, like a tidal wave, your life gets hit with major choices, major destiny options, new adventures, new people, new business possibilities, and old things going out, new things coming in. So in a way, I kind of see the astrological movements as a timing device, because this dimension, in a way, is an illusion. And if you take a look at your past memories, it's almost like they were a dream. And the present state is so fleeting, it's hard to stay on top of the now. That's why Baba Ram Dass with his book Be Here Now was so significant, because that's almost all there is the now. Because the future doesn't exist yet, you know? And the past is history, so it's kind of difficult to pinpoint exactly what is going on. So it all really does seem to be a major dream, which in effect it really is. I hate to disappoint you if you didn't know that, but metaphysically, this is a very sophisticated dream situation, folks. But anyway, the point of today's topic is to acknowledge to you that I have found through my studies and my research and my analysis that something definitely exists beyond this realm that is a lot more significant and important to what we believe is so important in this realm. And metaphysically, if this truly is a very sophisticated hologram, then what we're talking about here, what we are discussing, okay, is we are trying to understand the projections. In other words, if you're watching a movie, then the projector is what's showing the film. Well, this universe, the way it is designed in this dimension with the planets and the sun and the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, from Earth point of view, the planets and the outer constellations and beyond this realm, as far as the eyes can see and even beyond that, it is sort of like the projector, which is projecting this illusion and this image of life that we understand and that we see. So, in a way, before you are born, being the operator, once again, the user, or the one who runs the projector, it is up to you to decide exactly what type of film that you want to see or experience, exactly what type of situation you want to place yourself in, those people that you'll be more susceptible to as far as being charmed by, manipulated from, encouraged or conned by, and also the type of individual that you will become. See, astrologically and metaphysically, before we are born, we as souls can literally zero in on the moment of birth, because the higher mind and the soul in states of wisdom, I would probably have to compare it to maybe 100 Einsteins or 1,000 Copernicuses, because the higher self is so powerful, it's difficult for me to explain to you, but the higher part of our being, the soul, is something that would know all languages, all earth-based languages, probably many, if not all, extraterrestrial-based languages, including animal languages, insect languages, and have a total capacity for intercommunication vocabulary-wise with almost any species in almost any realm. And, you know, when you think about that in human terms, you sit there and it boggles your mind. You're sitting there going like, wow, like Farley, this is a little bit too heavy to believe that we are this powerful as far as language barriers are concerned. We can cross that. Well, it's not just language. It's science. It's invention. It's all kinds of humanistic philosophies are all combined in the higher self at such an intense level that we can literally zero in on moment of birth and ask astrological setup, just like a pilot would let you know what time a plane would arrive in a city within a matter of a few minutes. You know, even if the plane left 10 hours before, you know, in Hong Kong and was flying to New York or whatever, 16 hours away, that pilot would be able to give you a few minutes, within a few minutes, as to exactly how long it would take that plane to get there. Well, the soul is that intense and that evolved before birth. Before birth, we as pilots are able to design the families we need to be born to, okay, and also the particular gender we must embrace, male or female, and sexual preferences also, whether it's straight, bi, gay, whatever. And we can also zero in on the exact moment of birth, embracing certain planetary configurations during that moment, which we refer to as the astrology chart. Okay, more than just the sun sign, where each and every planet is located at birth is significantly important in understanding the metaphysical implications and the soul pattern and the growth pattern and the karmic pattern of any individual during any one particular lifetime. Okay, so we as pilots and navigators and co-pilots are able to design our charts way before birth. Obviously, right around the conception period, I think something goes on, frankly, in my mind. I'll tell you this, and it might not be something you want to hear, but I really do believe that the higher selves serve as guides, okay? We as higher selves prior to birth would serve as guides to people that we have karma with. Okay, that are meant to be our parents, hopefully, and encourage them in certain particular romantic situations to get involved in a romantic, intimate intercourse situation that would promote conception and the flight pattern of this particular soul leading to its birth and incarnation. Now, this becomes very, very complicated at this point, because if you believe this philosophy, then you gotta believe that there is a major metaphysical issue surrounding each and every conception, right? And if you, as host of this particular baby or individual, chooses to have the abortion, then, you know, I'm not saying that it's ethically wrong, but what I am saying is that you are making a choice to karmically alter or say no to an entity that you would otherwise have a mission with, to work a peace out with during the life cycle, which would be a child, okay, your baby. And this might be a situation that you might have to come back in another lifetime, okay, and work out if you decided not to work it out in this lifetime. In many ways, abortion, I'm sure, seems obvious and logical and practical and necessary, especially in situations of molestation and rape and total abuse and such. But I want you to know metaphysically that still the reason I believe that conception occurs is not an accident. In other words, I believe that conception occurs for a very specific reason, usually influenced or inspired by particular guide forces that we are prior to birth that allow two people to conceive that entity, that fetus, right, to house our souls and serve as vehicle, and also to promote the karma that needs to be worked out between individuals. Okay, so that is why I firmly believe that if I was going to have a baby or someone that I liked or loved was pregnant, that I would not have the abortion knowing that if there was somebody out there that I had a karma with, that I must work this out as a child, then I would do everything absolutely necessary to try to promote the birth of that child. Now, this obviously is a metaphysical look at birth, and if other people have ideas or suggestions or issues, I'd love to hear them. You can call up during the topic even and tell Mark, who is a Treat Williams lookalike here, that I saw you on TV last night, that you have something to say, because I am not here to make those of you feel guilty or have regrets or feel remorse or even feel that you will serve ramifications because you chose to have one or more abortions or because you decided to get into that. I am basically trying to discuss with you the soul contracts that are made with children and their parents prior to birth. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So if you just do decide to have an abortion, hey, that's 20th century America. If it's legal, if it's actually sanctioned by the government to be okay to have an abortion, then you really can't feel that bad about it, right? Okay, on that way. But metaphysically speaking, you know, if a metaphysically spiritually evolved being got pregnant, knowing this philosophy about the soul contract and the importance of karma, which would mean, okay, that having a particular child might be absolutely necessary and or required to your optimum growth in a particular lifetime, if you chose to have that abortion, you might be having or actually reducing or eliminating, okay, that the optimum potential of that particular growth, because the soul contract would have been broken. Okay? I want to make that clear, which means you might have to come back in another lifetime as their baby, and they might make the choice of having the abortion that next time, if that happens. So, you know, there's a lot of this stuff going on, and obviously a lot of souls want to come into this dimension. A lot of souls may not even have karma with the parents, too. Here's another option. Okay. A lot of these souls might not even have karma with the parents, but they just might want to get into this dimension. And the mother and the father just feel that this pregnancy is not right. It doesn't seem to be logical. Okay. And that way they're not looking to create any karma, but they just don't want to have any children. So, you know, in that way, then the abortion to me would be totally acceptable, because if you don't feel you have any karma with children, if that's really what your gut spiritual feeling is, then you really don't want to be used by another being to use your body as the host for its entrance into this dimension. So, you know, it goes both ways, metaphysically speaking. Either there's a karma or there's not a karma, and it's up to you to decide what it is, of course. But the thing is, the point is, that for so many times, obviously, prior to this abortion generation of people that we've had in the last 100 years or so, or 200 years, I don't know, I guess abortions are as old as mankind, but I'm sure before that, they were probably a lot lower percentage as far as how many occurred. But overall, the best I can see, you know, from looking at an astrology chart, is that the karma and the vibration of a particular entity is pre-planned before birth, like you were a pilot or a navigator, which means if you have karma with a certain person or a certain group of beings, then you better believe that if you know that group of people, that family, that Catholic Irish family in New Jersey, right, or that Jewish Russian family in Minnesota, or that Amish, you know, black family in Mississippi or whatever, Amish black. Real good. That you have a growth experience where you know that you could actually experience an amazing metamorphosis and a catalyst experience by being born to that group of individuals over there and to a specific mother and father, right? Okay, and at the same time assign yourself a certain astrological setup at birth. Maybe like a Pisces moon, a Virgo rising, a Leo sun, Mars and Aquarius, whatever, that each and every one of those planetary assignments that are focused on at birth. And I want to tell you something. I think that, of course, obviously, the soul is anchored to the baby while it is gestating in the womb, of course, right? But the entire consciousness of that soul is not imprint. The signature is not fully made until that baby is separate from the mother and the womb is, and it comes out of the womb and the umbilical is cut and the breathing process starts, right? So the higher self can serve as a guide still, you know, all through the pregnancy, all through the term of pregnancy, right? That higher self can still serve as a guide to the mother, right? Even all the way up to the birth. And that's what labor's all about. See, that's why a lot of people, yesterday, Nora called me and wanted to know when she should have her baby. She needed a cesarean. I said, well, I think I would wait till labor starts because what you don't want to do is you don't want to alter the flight pattern of the soul. And it's not fair to try to design a chart for the baby because I think you could threaten the life of that individual if they decided to cancel their contract and bail out, which is the stillborn situation with children, right? So individuals need to have a certain chart. So if they don't have the chart they must have, they won't come. And if you try to design or encourage a particular chart or create a chart that you think would be best, you could be blowing the mission and the karma of that child. Of course, you might be being guided by their guides. That's true. But I do believe that labor is a magical process that occurs that is the higher self, the astral self, trying to get into that baby's body. And the baby, of course, is reacting to it and trying to get out because it wants to be alive. It's time to be alive and separate. And that's why the miracle of birth is so metaphysical. It is so karmic. And it is so astrological that for me, it actually proves that astrology is in fact real, because I can actually see the soul trying to penetrate and enter this dimension and catalyzing this karma and this movement, this energy through the mother. And that's what the magic of labor is all about. And finally, you know, when the baby does finally get out, and some labors are so quick, you know, depending on the karma between the mother and the child, the labor is so quick. I've known people have babies in an hour, 2 hours, and other people suffer through 16, 20 hours of labor, whatever, and it's just incredible. But the truth of the matter is that when that baby comes out of the womb, whether it is cesarean or whether it is a natural birth or whatever, the moment it takes that first breath, the eagle has landed, you know, and that is that magical astrological metaphysical moment that has been designed by the soul of that child to embrace the optimum astrological charge on that body and on those brain cells to embrace a perfect vehicle for that being to experience just what it must experience in this life cycle. So I don't believe in any accidents. I do believe the soul is wise enough to cancel a contract if everything is not right. And that's why oftentimes we have these tragedies of children being born either stillborn or infant death a couple months down the road, 3-4 months down the road, the baby's dying because the souls just decide that either the karma is fulfilled or that the contract is just not as it should be. For some reason, the planets that were needed to be there at birth were not there, and the karma, the charge, the vibration is wrong. I mean, I had to be born during a Scorpio moon, and so did my sister. So my mother had both of her babies exactly at a 17-degree Scorpio moon, 6 years apart. That's almost Twilight Zone, I'm telling you. But a lot of brothers and sisters have the same moons, or the same risings, or something in their chart that is exactly the same, that also has validated and confirmed for me that astrology works. All you gotta do is do people's charts that you know. And when you do that, and you look at their charts, you go, wow, there's something really mystical about these two charts. Both these kids have 17 Scorpio moons. Do. That's right. So, can you imagine my mother had to go through all that labor during a Scorpio moon, have the baby during the Scorpio moon, and both of them at 17 degrees, exactly, Scorpio. And poor Ma, you know, she probably would have been better off. Of course, I'd rather be born during a Taurus moon, as you all might be, but still, that's the way the cards fell. That's what my karma, and that's what my sister's karma is. We were meant to have a Scorpion energy, the moon and fall, during our birth and during this life cycle, so we got it, and that's the way the cards fell, and that must have been our soul contract, and as pilots and navigators, that's the way we designed our birth. I obviously knew my sister had a Scorpio moon because she was alive 6 years prior to my birth. So I must have had something to do with designing the labor. I mean, I woke my mother up in the middle of the night. She got to the hospital, had the baby at 11:21 in the morning, then probably had lunch. Hot summer day in St. Louis. And here I was born with prickly heat all over the place, right? So there's a reason why things happen in life, especially surrounding birth. And the moment of birth is so magical and so important. The magic of astrology and the beauty and the wonderment of astrology is that once you take a look at your astrology chart, and once you read it to a point where you can understand it, then after it sinks in after a while, it's like something deep, deep down inside of you has an agreement, or actually almost like some kind of calming or centering of some kind, that acknowledges to you the purpose of exactly how this life cycle and this body and this chart were designed prior to birth. You get my point? So actually, what we're dealing with here is what we're trying to do with astrology, and the beauty about astrology is that we are trying to trigger a memory inside of you that existed prior to your birth, and even prior to your conception, and that is your natal chart, your karma, because you're not born with planetary energies by accident. You are born with specific energies because you need to face relationships a certain way, and because you need to get involved in money situations a certain possibility, and because you are required to seek out certain individuals in your life that you will be magnetized to. You know, if you have Venus in Cancer, you're going to be magnetized to women with Mars and Scorpio, Cancer, or Pisces, no problem. It's not going to be an accident when you get involved with these tender, loving women. Now, if you have Venus or Mars in Aquarius, you are going to be attracted to people in your life with Venus or Mars in Aquarius, Gemini, or Libra. That's the way the attraction works. And that's the way the karma comes down. It's like a magnetism. Sometimes like attracts like, or sometimes opposites attract, but astrology is a magnificent science of human magnetism. And it's fantastic because when you start studying your chart, when you reach a level of your consciousness, and not all people can look at an astrology chart and understand it, you literally have to climb the ladder of evolution, I would say spiritually, to reach a point where something inside of you says, well, it's time to get your chart done, Farley. It's necessary to get your chart done. You're now 26 years old or whatever I was, 25 when I got my chart done, and now you're qualified to understand it. So I went and got it done, and when I did, it blew me away because the contract that I made with myself before birth became quite obvious. And having that edge and knowing about what you planned before you were born goes a far way in explaining the mission to the madness of life on Earth in the 21st century in this dimension and what we are all going through. So if you are into astrology, pat yourself in the back and congratulate yourself for having the knowledge and the wisdom and the power and the consciousness to look beyond the material plane and seek that which is truly your own true self, the higher part of your being. And that way you'll be in communion with your higher part of yourself, and you'll be able to understand why you live your life and why you react the way you do and why you have experiences that you do. Astrology for me almost explains everything that happens in my life and the lives of all other people. So, you know, I'm totally thankful that I believe in it and that I'm interested in it. And it saddens me that there's so many people out there propagandizing against astrology because the proliferation of sun sign astrology has destroyed the true essence of scientific planetary astrology, modern tropical astrology. And all these people out there think it's like a first grade science. It's not. It's very intense. It's like astronomy explained in humanistic terms. You know, it all starts with your chart. And the beauty about astrology, and too bad that this show didn't exist in the early 70s for me, like 71, 72, because if I would have gotten my chart and the woman's chart who I was going to marry done, then I never would have gotten married. And I would have avoided 5 years of suffering and torture and pain. Of course, I wouldn't have had all the growth I had without it. But still, there's a reason why I'm here. And maybe that reason I am here now, here in 1989, is to serve for you the opportunity to learn about astrology and metaphysics and to maybe to prevent some of you from making big mistakes and to experience that growth with free will choice by just getting your chart now and figuring it all out for yourself. It's not that hard. Listen to the show every day. You read our suggested reading. You take our classes and it's all easy reading. And before you know it, you are an evolved aware being. And a lot of people that have been listening to this show for a long time have come very far in their awareness of this contract we discussed with the soul. Metaphysical implication of astrology. Good topic. So if you want to send for charts, you know, I went totally, absolutely lunatical berserk when I got into astrology because I wanted to know it all. I did my ex-wife's chart, my dad, my mom. I found a guy, back then there was no astroscope, so I found a friend who knew how to do charts. And we figured out my mom's, my dad's, my sister's, my ex-wife, my best friends, Mike, Bruce, another Mike, Steve. I mean, I got about 30 charts done on everybody. And wow, life has never been the same because I understand it all now and why everyone's the way they are. I know all their moons and all their suns. Mom's a Gemini moon. Dad's a Pisces moon. Bruce is a Leo moon. Roger's a Sag moon. And Arlen's a Taurus moon. And, you know, Kara's a Capricorn moon. I know people. That's how I read people because I know their charts, you know.